Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the Latest Issues Etc. Journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. Journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Edie Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org.
If you call, I will answer. If you fall,
there's some time here at the end of this first hour of Issues Etc. Live this Monday, November the 12th, to respond to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. So that's what we're going to be doing here for the remainder of this hour. In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to be spending some time talking with Archbishop Robert Duncan about the new Archbishop of Canterbury. He was announced recently. I think there's still some paperwork to be done, but we know who it will be. I wonder what direction it will set for the Anglican Communion. Will it change at all after the resignation of Archbishop Rowan Williams? Then we'll be answering the question, can a Christian be a soldier? Dr. Holger Sontag will be our guest in the last part of the program. He's a translator of Martin Luther's work, Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved. In the meantime, your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. This is a phone that we leave open for our listeners at any time of day or night. 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382 for their comments. Let's begin with a comment on the doctrine of justification.
Hi. I am enjoying listening to the session, the 24-hour session on, right now, justification. And I had a comment, the Roman Catholic position on faith looks at faith as an act or habit of the intellect that conforms to God's word. So they seem to define it first as that, and then they apply it to justification. But we see faith as a passive organism that receives the favor of God and the forgiveness of God and the promise of God. So I really like how Paul presupposes that faith is passive when he says that since, and he says this in Romans 4:16, that since it is by faith, then it is according to grace and a guarantee to all of Abraham's offspring. And by offspring of Abraham, Paul speaks of offspring by faith. He demonstrates there that we don't separate faith from justification. And we see, not just with the Catholics, but with others, that if we do separate faith from justification, then we turn faith into our own virtue, and then we're in a big mess. Thank you. I enjoy listening to the show.
That's a great comment, a great distinction. I think when we come back from this break, I'll tease some of that apart. The difference between the Roman Catholic view of faith as an act of the intellect and the biblical Lutheran view as faith is passive, 100% passive reception. We'll get into that, responding to the comment line after this.
If you find yourself near the heart of Angelina County, Texas, then God wants you to visit the First Lutheran Church of Lufkin. We are gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear God's word of forgiveness in Christ, crucified for sinners, each Sunday morning beginning at 10:15. Further details and contact information can be found at our website, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net. fll.ctsmemberconnect.net.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. We often say we love our on-demand listeners, and we do. And that's one of the things that it's provided for both our live, but primarily our on-demand listeners. The comment line is there because we know that you're listening out of real time, on delay, so to speak, and you still have questions, you still have comments, you still have things that you want to add to the conversation. That's why we have the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. There's a comment before the break on justification contrasting the Roman view, and I would say not only the Roman view, but also the generically Protestant view of faith with the biblical Lutheran view of faith. The Roman / Protestant view of faith is that it is an act, in some sense, it's an act or habit of the will or the intellect, which stands to reason, doesn't it? We tend to think about faith in terms of either intellectual content or an act of the will, right? It stands to reason, but it doesn't stand up to Scripture, because Scripture describes faith in a way that can only rightly be understood as 100% passive reception. Okay, and this is why, and the caller quoted this or paraphrased this from St. Paul, where he says, if it's by faith, then it's by grace. If it's by faith, it's not by works, then it's by grace. And this is the only way, and this was the genius of the rediscovery of Luther and the other reformers with respect to faith and grace in the scriptural testimony, was that faith has to be 100% passive reception, or it's not by grace. If it is, in any sense, an act of the intellect or of the will, then it's not by grace. It's by some act or work, act and work are synonymous for one another, of yours. But faith is of God, that is it a gift of God, that's what St. Paul says, as much as salvation is a gift of God. The two go together. So we can honestly say with St. Paul, if it is by faith, that is 100% passive reception, then it is by grace. And if it isn't by faith as 100% passive reception, then it isn't by grace. They stand and they fall together. Faith and grace stand and fall together. If you have to have a definition of faith that is somehow your doing, then you have to dispense with the biblical definition of grace. It's that simple. The best illustration of this, the one that brings, that separates the men from the boys and smokes out all the Indians from their teepees, what is it? Infant faith. You throw that like a hand grenade into a middle of a room of theologians, you'll find out who the Lutherans are. Try that. Throw that into a room full of Lutheran theologians, and you might find out who the Lutherans are. Infant faith. We say, well, can infants believe? For a biblical view of faith, that's like asking, can infants be fed? Can infants be dressed? Can infants be carried around? Can they be cared for and loved? You say, well, of course, because none of those involve any active part of them. They passively receive those things. There you go. That's why we say on the basis of Holy Scripture and Scripture's definition of faith that infants can have faith, because it is nothing more than passive reception. And if we're told by Scripture, and we are, that such faith is given by God through his means of grace, the word and his sacraments, then the circle is complete. And we don't have to worry about whether or not infants can believe. They can. Can they believe? It's like asking, can they be fed? Can they be dressed? Can they be changed? Can they be carried? Can they be loved? Of course, because all that's passive reception, which is, in scriptural terms, that's what faith is. A passive reception of all that God gives in Jesus Christ.
Hello, this is Chris Greenwood from Madison Heights, Michigan. And the Office of the Keys gives the pastor the authority to forgive sins in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a misnomer to think that any pastor actually forgives sins. They don't. God forgives sins. The Office of the Key only gives him the authority to do it in his name. Thank you.
I think it's a good distinction to make, but I want to be careful about this, because let's just go with Jesus' language. Jesus' language in the actual institution of that authority, that office of the keys in John chapter 20 is, whosoever sins, you forgive, they are forgiven. And whoever sins, you, speaking to his disciples, retain, they are retained. So, if we're going to take Jesus at his word, he is conferring upon them the real authority, his authority, to forgive sins. So can we say, rightly understood, that the disciples are then now authorized to go and forgive sins? And to say, I forgive you your sins, and not just, well, Jesus forgives you your sins. So that you're quite right that we don't vest the authority in the man himself. We don't vest it in the man himself. When he says I, he's speaking I as a called and ordained servant to the word and by Christ's own authority, but he does forgive sins, but only by Christ's authority and only by Christ's word. And the reason we must maintain this is because Jesus himself maintains it. Whosoever sins, you forgive. He doesn't say, whosoever sins, I forgive, they are forgiven. Well, that's obvious. He is conferring upon his disciples and then through them upon the called and ordained of the church for the rest of history, his authority to forgive sins. Which is why pastors, faithful ones, do retain. You walk into church one Sunday morning and you see at the beginning of the service the people confess their sins, and then the pastor stands up there and he says words that would otherwise be utter blasphemy. In the stead and by the command of Christ, I forgive you all your sins. He said I. That's right. He said I. But he said, in the stead and by the command of Christ, by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. He's not claiming for himself personal authority, but Christ's authority. But that doesn't mean he says, oh, not I, but Christ. He says, no, I, because I have been given this authority, Christ's own authority. And you got to stick with Jesus' words there. Otherwise, we break the authority away from the words. And you can never take the authority away from the words. That's why in the old rite, the pastor would say, do you believe? This is the private confession absolution. Do you believe that my forgiveness is Christ's forgiveness? Yes. Otherwise, you've taken the authority of Christ and you've taken it away from the words, the actual words that the person confessing their sins will be hearing. And we don't want to drive a wedge between those two. Let's keep the authority with the words, the I is I.
Issues, etc. What does this mean? This is Paul in Milwaukee, modifying the question to what did issues, etc. mean to me lately, in hopes that others may profit thereby. On October 9th, to use my pastor's lingo, I wiped out on my bicycle. I sustained fractured collar bone, pelvis, and ribs. I got out of the rehabilitation hospital a week ago, am recovering, and assured by doctors that I will have a return engagement with the bike. For over a week, my rather wide-cast world was confined to a hospital bed. My pains and speculations as to why I came to that pass. At 3 a.m., my Christian visitors and family had gone, and the nurses had done what they could for me and had left. And I was left with my doubts, secular and religious, and my restricted body and its pains. Not quite. Issues, etc., sacred music for the world was with me. The teaching of traditional Christian music abided with me. Law and gospel, confession and absolution, doctrine, praise was there. Today a number of pieces need to be picked up in my life, but issues, etc., music kept me through the probable worst. Thank you. Perhaps what sacred music for the world did for me will help others who may be someday situated as I was. Thanks for listening.
Well, we certainly keep Paul in Milwaukee in our prayers after that rather significant accident and pray for his speedy recovery according to God's will. What he's talking there is about LutheranPublicRadio.org. That's one of our taglines, sacred music for the world. It's absolutely free. It's 24/7. That's why he could listen to it at 3 o'clock in the morning from his hospital bed. You can listen to it anywhere, anytime, 24/7, sacred music for the world at LutheranPublicRadio.org. In addition to that, it follows the church year, so that if you're listening now, you're going to be hearing the end of Pentecost, the end of the church year stuff, and then on December 2nd, with the beginning of the season of Advent, the new church year, the music of Lutheran Public Radio will shift toward an Advent emphasis at LutheranPublicRadio.org, and then as Christmas approaches on December 24th, you're going to have 12 days of sacred music for the Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Go and listen anytime to sacred music for the world. And Paul, we certainly hope you feel better and make a speedy recovery. When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to be talking with Archbishop Robert Duncan, the primate and the Archbishop for the Anglican Church in North America. Talk to him about the new Archbishop of Canterbury, who has been recently named. Then we'll answer the question, can a Christian be a soldier? Dr. Holger Sontag will be our guest. He's translated Martin Luther's work, Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved. That's in hour two of Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November comes from Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He's a regular guest here on Issues Etc. He's put together a great book with Concordia Publishing House called Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. And it is coming out soon, I believe in December. You can pre-order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, hour two, we'll be talking about the new Archbishop of Canterbury.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details E.D. Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.